بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد وقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال أحد الظالمين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام أحب إلى الله أن يتعبد له فيها من أشر ذي الحجة يعدل صيام كل يوم منها بصيام سنة وقيام ليلة منها بقيام ليلة القدر وقال صيام يوم عرفة أحتسب على الله تعالى أن يكفر السنة التي قبله والسنة التي بعده أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Alhamdulillah, this is the season of Hajj. Those fortunate souls and families to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted their labbaik, Alhamdulillah, they are reaching to their destinations. Some of them are on the way, some of them are going to leave very soon. We should make dua that we couldn't make it, but we have this desire and niyat and intention that may Allah grant us also this opportunity to go for Hajj and Umrah, inshallah. Those who are going, may Allah make it easy for them and accept their du'as in ibadat. Make this journey acceptable in hereafter. This verse of the Holy Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that Allah Rabbul Izzat has tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam bikalimatin, in different ways, in different circumstances, fa'atammahunna. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has completed his test. Then Allah ta'ala declared, inni ja'iluka linnasi imama, that I am going to make you the imam for all the people. And that is why Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is well known and well respected among all the nations of the world, whether they are Jewish or Christians or Hindus, they all respect and honor and regard Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as their own prophet and their guides. So this is the dignity and honor has been granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his Khalil, the most beloved friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, in one of the historical book, Abu Anbiya Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned that according to the book Azairul Majalis, Imam Abu Zariq rahmatullah alayhi has written that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was born 3037 years after Adam alayhi salam, and about 1,709 years after the flood of Nuh alayhi salam, and about 3,200 years before the Isa alayhi salatu salam. So he was born in Iraq, the city called Ur, and at that time his biological father was, his name was mentioned in the historical books as a Taruk or Tariq. But he was well known that his father was Azar, as it is mentioned in the Holy Quran as well. But actually the Azar was his uncle's name. And it is said that his biological father passed away in his childhood. And that's how his uncle Azar, who was a fire worshipper, idol maker, he took the responsibility of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to upbring him. So that's why in the society he was known as a son of Azar. And as our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the demise of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, his son Abu Talib, who was the uncle of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took over the responsibility of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to upbring him and fulfill his old needs and necessities. Likewise, in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his uncle Azar took the responsibility to upbring him after his biological dad Taruk passed away. And at that time, the tyrant king of Iraq, where he was born, was the Nimrud or Namrud. Now Namrud is one of those four kings to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the kingdom of the whole world. They were ruling over the whole world. Amongst those four kings, two were Muslims and two were kafirs, non-Muslims. The two who were Muslims was Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. He ruled over the whole globe, over the whole world. And second one was Zulqarnain, Sikandar Azam, the Alexander the Great. His incident has been mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, in the last portion of Surah Al-Kahf. So these two were Muwahideen, they were Muslims. And Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, as we know, was the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the son of Dawud alayhi salam. Two kings who ruled over the world, one of them was Namrud, and the second one was Bukht-e-Nasr, Nabushak-Nazir. These two were kafir kings, but they were ruling the whole world at the time. Nevertheless, Namrud, who was a tyrant king at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's birth, one night he saw the very strange dream that he saw one star is rose in the horizon and covered the whole sky. So he was very scared. Next morning he called all his fortune tellers and astrologists and asked them this question, that last night I have seen that amazing dream. What is the interpretation and meaning of this dream? So all those astrologists and those, you know, people who have the knowledge of the stars and all, after calculation, they came to the conclusion that it shows that one child is going to be born this year and he will destroy your kingdom. Just like Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's time, Fir'aun seeing in the dream, and that was Musa alayhi salam. Similarly here, the Namrud saw in the dream and he was scared. So he made a rule, because he was a king and people used to worship him, and he also claimed himself, just like a Fir'aun, he claimed himself as a lord and people used to worship him because of his power and kingdom. So he made a rule that no one, no male or female, husband and wife can get together, separate them. So that particular night, which after the calculation they mentioned that most probably in this particular night that the semen of the child will transfer from the back of the father into the womb of mother. So he made the arrangement throughout the country that this night no one should meet separated male, all the husband other side and all the wives other side, the whole night. And he appointed certain soldiers and supervisor. After every six male, there was a one supervisor appointed by the government, by the Namrud. Likewise, after five and six women, there was a one female supervisor appointed to take care and look that they should not go to their husbands and wives. They should not meet. But this is the Qudrat and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It so happened, one of the women, like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's mom, her name is mentioned as Amila. She was appointed to one group, and one side her husband Taruk was appointed to one group of the male. And she just completed her main, you know, monthly cycle, and she took shower, fresh shower, she dressed up, she you know, comb her hair, and she went to the duty, to the job, whole night to guard those women. When her husband saw her in the new dress and nicely combed, he got affected. And somehow, because they were supervisors, so no one could stop them. They were looking to the other people not to do this act, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them so attractive that husband and wife, they spent a night together. And then they continued their duty. Next morning, those astrologists and fortune tellers came to Namrud and informed him that according to our calculation, that child is already transferred from the husband to the wife. It happened. No matter whatever arrangement you have done, but this matter has happened already. Now you got more worried that my plan is failed. So he now ordered throughout the year that the soldiers should go around house to house, city to, I mean, the gully to gully, and look any woman pregnant, captured her, put her into the prison, and torture her, or, you know, abort her child. Like Firaun, he killed 70,000 children, innocent, newborn babies, 70,000. Just to protect his kingdom. That's how cruel, merciless, and tyrant these kings were. Similarly, Namrud killed thousands of women that year. Whoever used to be pregnant, the police used to capture her and used to be put into the jail, and she was killed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again play his qudrat. Hadrat Amila, the mother of Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, she was pregnant, but she did not feel the pregnancy, the pain of pregnancy. Just like Hazrat Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, she was pregnant, but when she gave birth, she did not feel any labor pain to give the birth to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Miraculously. Likewise, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made such an arrangement that her womb, her stomach was not swollen. Normally, pregnant woman's stomach is get swollen, and that's how people recognize, oh, she is pregnant. And Shurta and police were looking everywhere for the pregnant woman. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made in such an arrangement that mother of Ibrahim alayhi salam was pregnant, but his stomach was not swollen. Allah ta'ala protected her. And she was continued doing her job in the palace of Namrud. And when she felt the pain, you know, a little bit, like she sensed that I'm going to give the birth. So quietly, secretly, she went out of the city. She went into the jungle, and there she found one abandoned cave. She entered into the cave, and she very nicely, without any pain, without any suffering, she gave the birth to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now her husband also didn't know that my wife was pregnant, and she gave birth to the boy. And she did not inform her husband because of the security reason. So eventually when she gave birth, and she was scared that any police can see me or see my child is going to kill. To protect her child, she covered him inside the cave with some grass and wood and kept him inside. And closed the mouth of the cave, and she came back to the city, like nothing has happened. Then quietly she informed her husband that, look, we got the boy. And the husband was very excited because everybody loves the child. He said, how it happened? He said, but this is the kudrat in, you know, God's gift. So she took him to that cave and showed the child, and he immediately affected by Hazrat Ibrahim Salam's beauty and the childhood. But they say, we're going to keep quiet, we're not going to inform anyone. Now, she left the newborn baby and came to the city. Now the boy is alone in the cave, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made such an arrangement that when next day she went thinking that my child must be hungry, I have to breastfeed him. Because no one else is there. How is he going to survive without my breastfeeding? So when she went into the cave second day, she found her small little child is sucking his fingers. Four fingers were in his mouth. So she is surprised. Why is keeping the finger in the mouth? When she took out the finger from the mouth of Hazrat Ibrahim Islam, she found from the first finger the honey was coming out. From the second finger the milk was coming out. From the third finger the water was coming out. And from the fourth finger the butter was coming out. These four, you know, different kind of foods, liquid foods, which is required in the infancy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the fingers of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and granted him the risk and sustenance, you know, from the unseen sources. فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. Allah can do whatever He likes, the way He likes. So, because of this, you know, the upbringing by, directly by Allah's Qudrat and power, Hazrat Ibrahim salam was growing very fast, because he is getting the sustenance from the heaven. You know, the honey and milk and butter and water was not from the from this world, it was from the heaven. So effect of that risk and sustenance was such, he was growing day and night. Within 2 weeks he was grown to that extent, he looks like a big child of 2 years. This is the, you know, upbringing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after he got little bit, you know, like 5-6 months, then she brought him into the town, and no one suspected that this is the newborn child, because he was already grown up like 5 to 6 years old boy. So no one doubted about him. And meanwhile, Hazrat Taruk, his biological dad, passed away. So his uncle, Azar, who was a very respected person in the society, he was very close to the Namrud. He was very trustworthy person of the Namrud. He was the chief, worshipper in the temple. That everybody used to follow him. He was the chief pandit. He used to make the idols by his own hands and used to sell it into the market. So that's how Hazrat Ibrahim al-Salam was growing in the house of this kafir and mushrik, the idol worshipper and idol maker. And from the history of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we repeat every year. So most of the story we know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, tested him in several places, in with the several circumstances. The fire, he was thrown into the fire and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected in the fire. Then, you know, he went migrate from Iraq to Palestine, from there to Egypt, and the king of the Egypt was, wanted to interfere with his wife, Hazrat Sarah. And there, because of the dua of Hazrat Sarah, alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected her, and she was he was not able to do so. He became paralyzed. And then, because of this miracle, extraordinary thing, he got affected by the piety of Hazrat Sarah, alayhi salam. And as a recompensation, he said, I'm going to give my daughter, Hazrat Hajir, as the maid and servant to serve Hazrat Sarah alayhi salam. So that's how Hazrat Hajira was a princess of Egypt, and she became a servant of Hazrat Sarah. And because Sarah couldn't bear any child and they were already old, so she gifted her maid to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and granted permission to perform the nikah with her. So maybe Allah Ta'ala can grant him child from this second woman. And it so happened that Sarah alayhi salam, with the permission of Sarah alayhi salam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam set her free and performed the nikah with her. And because Allah has decided already, within a year Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Hazrat Hajira the first son, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu salam. And because at the old age, after so many duas and sacrifice and effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the child at the age of 86. So obviously, naturally, he got full of love and, you know, kindness with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, started playing, spending more time, and love of Ismail alayhi salam entered into the heart of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is what Sarah didn't like it, and she started quarreling and hating Hazrat Hajra and her son Ismail alayhi salam. And eventually she demanded from Hazrat Ibrahim salam to take them away from her eye. They want to see, she don't want to see this mother and child. And that was the exact command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel salam came down and informed Hazrat Ibrahim salam that this is the command of Allah, take them away from here. So they took journey from Palestine all the way to the valley of Makkah, Hijaz at the time. And it was Wadi Ghair Zizara, barren land. No one was there. And there the Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam asked, why are you leaving us? He said, this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know. And because of the tawakkul and reliance and faith in the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, okay, go away, Allah will protect us. Allah will not let us die hungry and thirsty in this way. And then we know, Zamzam came up and they started living. The Jurhum Qabila tribe came, settled down. Amalek came and settled down. And we know the history. And then eventually, when he got little old, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, saw the dream to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he saw his slaughtering his own son with his own hand. He came down all the way from Palestine to fulfill this hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he negotiated with his son that, my son, this is what I am seeing in the dream. Son was very obedient. Son of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, go ahead. Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni inshallah min as-sabirin. So that was a great sacrifice by the father to the son, slaughtering his own beloved son that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted in the old age. There was the only son he had, and because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was prepared to sacrifice. He did actually the act, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was just tasting, and then he did not allow the knife to cut the throat of Ismail alayhi salam, and he sent down the ram from the heaven, and stayed in place of Ismail alayhi salam. The ram was slaughtered by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is the great sunnah of qurbani and sacrifice. Every year the Muslim ummah throughout the world is sacrificing, remembering this great sacrifice in qurbani for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, the holy days of Dhul Hijjah is going to start inshallah. If they see the moon on Sunday evening, the first of Dhul Hijjah will be on the Monday, May 25th. So those brothers and sisters who intend to sacrifice Udhiya, Qurbani, whether local or overseas, they should not cut their hairs and their nails from Monday. Sunday they can cut it. That is the last day until their Qurbani has been done. So keep this mas'ala in your mind. If you want to, male and female, both the brothers and sisters, she should also not cut the nails or any part of the hair from Monday this year, the 25th, Allah will, all the way till 27, when the sacrifice can be completed. The other things, my brothers and sisters, we all have to keep in mind, these 10 days, from 1st of Dhul Hijjah till the Yawmul Nahar, 10th of Dhul Hijjah, these are very sacred and full of virtues, days and nights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this special surah, Suratul Fajr, wal fajri wal layalin ash, wal shaf'i wal watr. These, most of the interpreters, the mufassirin, has been mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the oath of these days and nights. And that is why in one of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most, virtuous days in the year are these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. In one of the hadiths, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Ma min ayyamin a'adamu inda Allahi wala ahabba ilayhi al-amalu fihinna min ayyami ashri dhil hijjah." That there is no other day in the year which is greater and more virtuous. Even the days of Ramadan, compared to these 10 days, even the days of Ramadan are not that virtuous. Allah said, these 10 days are very, very virtuous. وَلَا أَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْعَمَلِ Allah has loved the amal and action during these days, the ibadah during these days done by the servants more than any other days of the year. And فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّحْلِيلِ So in these 10 days, we should excessively make tasbihat, you know, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar. And one of the mustahab act as we takbir tashriq, we start from the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, from the fajr of 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, and we end on the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah asr, 23 salah. That is wajib takbir after every salah. But Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, they used to start saying takbir, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillahilhamd, from the first of Dhul-Hijjah. And that is mustahab act. Especially they used to go to the bazaar and market of Medina, and they used to say this takbir loudly. So all those buyers and sellers in the market, they used to hear takbir, you know, recited by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, they used to join. The whole market, bazaar, used to be proclaim the takbir, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillahilhamd. So from first of Dhul-Hijjah, from the Monday, we should start saying this takbir, whether we go to the mall, we go to the work, we are driving, we are shopping, everywhere, we should try to recite this kalimat more and more, during the days and night. And from the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, it becomes wajib. But these 8 days, it is like a mustahab, and you will get more reward from saying takbir. Another hadith Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that ma min ayamin ahabba ilallahi an yata'abbada lahu fiha min ashri dhul-hijjah ya'dilu siyama kulla yawmin minha bi siyami sanatin wa qiyami laylati minha bi qiyami laylati al-qadr. The hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there is no other amal and act during these days of Dhul-Hijjah, from the first of Dhul-Hijjah till the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants one day fasting as the siyame sanatin. If you fast on first of Dhul-Hijjah, you will get the reward of fasting whole year. If you fast second Dhul-Hijjah, you will get the reward of fasting the whole year. Like every day fasting is equivalent to 1 year fasting. And every night spending in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just like spending Laylatul Qadr. So these 9-10 nights are the reward equivalent to Laylatul Qadr. And we know the ajar of Laylatul Qadr, khairu min al-fishar. So you can get every night like a night of Laylatul Qadr. Every day fasting is like a day fasting for the whole year. But if you cannot fast all 9 days, we try to fast as many, but if you cannot, at least the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, Yawm Arafah, is the greatest day in the whole year. So at least on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, we should try to fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that I hope that if a person is fasting for Yawm Arafah, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّذِي قَبْلَهُ وَالسَّنَةَ الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ That just by fasting one day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant you the reward of 2 years. Your 2 years sins will be forgiven. 1 year past and 1 year future. So just by fasting one day of Yawm Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant us the reward of 2 years and in removing our sins of the 2 years. My brothers and sisters, these are the days we should give the sadaqah and charity as much we can give, and we should try to perform at least Isha Salat and Fajr Salat with congregation. If you cannot make the all 5 Salat, at least Isha and Fajr. If you make these 2 Salat in the masjid with congregation, you will get the reward of whole night spending as a Laylatul Qadr. Try to do your best, inshallah. Try to avoid all the sins and try to perform all the 5 times Salat on daily basis. May Allah give us tawfiq.